Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll hear how the Minnesota Department of Public Safety and the Minnesota National Guard are preparing to deal with the state's next big emergency and how you can help. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General John Jensen.
Both the Air Force and Army Chiefs of Staff have declared readiness of the force as a priority. My vision for the Minnesota National Guard is that of an organization ready to respond to the needs of our state and nation. Looking back at our support efforts during Super Bowl 52, our recent winter storm and hurricane response, there can be no doubt that your Minnesota National Guard is ready. During the Super Bowl, we partnered with local officials to maintain a safe environment both on the ground and in the sky. Our armories provided shelter across Minnesota to hundreds of citizens and motorists during the recent severe winter weather. More than 100 soldiers and airmen provided critical relief in the wake of recent hurricanes in the Caribbean and Gulf region. All told, more than 1,500 soldiers and airmen will deploy overseas in support of contingency operations during 2018, proving once again, should the mission be here at home or in a distant land, your Minnesota National Guard is always ready, always there.
Thank you, General Jensen. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I mentioned at the opening, our topic today is emergency preparedness. And this time of year, we always ask Director Joe Kelly from Homeland Security Emergency Management, which is part of Minnesota's Department of Public Safety, to join us. And Director Kelly, welcome back to the studio.
Thanks, Tom. It's good to be back. It's hard to believe it's been a year.
And here it is, March again. And each year, I think for quite a few years, we've been talking about how the winter went and whether or not we have any flooding coming up this spring. How's it look out there?
Well, we certainly had a winter. Excuse me. We certainly had a winter with a lot of snow and kind of colder than normal temperatures. But when we look at and when the National Weather Service reports to us, the flood risk is about average. And that's mostly in the Minnesota-Mississippi River basins. If you get up into the Red River Valley, up in the northwest part of the state, it's actually below average. So there have been times in the past when we've been nervous at this time of year. And this year, we're thinking we're going to have a pretty uneventful spring.
Well, that's good to hear, Director Kelly. Can you tell our listeners at the Homeland Security Emergency Management here in Minnesota, what all is within your jurisdiction? What type of things do you try to protect us from?
Well, we try to protect you from everything. We call an all-hazards approach. You know, we look at our organization's mission is to help Minnesota communities prepare for, respond to, and recover from human and natural cause disasters. So the predominant threat in Minnesota is natural hazards, and flooding is probably our number one. But we've got ice storms, severe thunderstorms, tornadic activity, those kinds of things. But we're also starting to branch out and look at a preparedness for other things, cybersecurity events that might compromise infrastructure, you know, God forbid, terrorist attacks and those kinds of things. So pretty much everything, you know, communities have to be prepared for anything, and we try to help them with that.
And Director Kelly, I know that you've got a command center over in St. Paul, and you've got a facility up at Camp Ripley. And you do some training up at Camp Ripley. Can you share that with us?
Sure. In downtown St. Paul, we have what we call the State Emergency Operations Center. And that is where we gather up all of our friends and partners. And by that, I mean state agencies that have resources that are going to be able to help a community when they have their next emergency or disaster. We bring in our federal partners like the Federal Emergency Management Agency or FEMA, Weather Service, Small Business Administration, et cetera. We gather all those folks in St. Paul in order to provide support to the local communities and governments when something bad has happened. In order to be ready to do that, as you mentioned, we have to train and exercise and practice how we're going to do that. And up at Camp Ripley, in a great partnership with the Department of Military Affairs, we have a facility we call the Emergency Management Training Center, where we bring people in, do instruction, as well as give them the opportunity to practice what they would do in their emergency operations center at the local level. And that thing's been around for now going on 6 years, and it's a great example of the partnership between the Department of Public Safety and the Minnesota National Guard.
We're speaking with Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management on Minnesota Military Radio. Sir, I know that one of the great advantages we have, you've been in the this position for a while, is that you've gotten to meet people all over Minnesota, train with them. Your Rolodex, if people understand what that is anymore, is probably pretty deep. And you have those relationships you can call upon when there's some type of disaster to react to.
Your reference to Rolodex is dating both of us, Tom. But absolutely, we say in our business, you know, relationships are our lifeblood. When you need a friend, is no time to try to make a friend. When you need to figure out who you're going to call for help, you need to do that ahead of time. So I spend and my staff spends a lot of time traveling around Minnesota, visiting counties and cities and townships across the state. Making presentations, putting on training classes, helping them with their exercises. You know, we say, and we said that in my previous life in the military, you gotta train the way you're gonna fight, because you're not gonna get bigger, faster, stronger, and smarter just because you have an emergency on your hands. What's gonna happen is you're gonna fall back on the training and experience that you've had in the past. So that's absolutely important for us to get out and meet people.
Sir, we're going to talk about the Super Bowl 52 a little later in the show, but what type of disasters did you had to react to in the last year since you've been on the show?
Well, last year was interesting because we did not have a federally declared disaster. So we didn't have the big one, but we had 11 smaller ones that qualified for state disaster assistance that the governor can administer. We started at this week. In fact, it was the 6th of March, I think. Down in Freeborn County, where we had the earliest recorded tornado in Minnesota history, and we went all the way through the summer and into the fall, where the St. Louis County and the city of Duluth experienced what I call an inland hurricane that did about $3 million worth of damage. So in between all those, we had 9 other events that the governor authorized state disaster assistance for. So it was a busy summer, even without a big federally declared disaster.
So how are you called into action? If there's a big tornado or a big natural disaster down in southern Minnesota, do they call the governor's office, or just how do they get you involved? Is it a local authority that invites you in?
Well, we spend a lot of time and effort trying to maintain what I'll call situational awareness, understand what's happening across Minnesota. When we see that something bad has happened, we will activate ourselves, if you will, and then make contact with the local officials. It can happen the other way around because I can't see very much from my office in St. Paul, and we'll get a call from one of Minnesota's 87 county emergency management directors saying, hey, we had a thing happen and we need your help. But the trigger, if you will, for us to activate our operations center and bring in all those helpers, that's in our hands.
So it was one of your first questions when you're contacted by, say, the county sheriff, is we've had a disaster and here's what it was, and you come back and say, okay, what do you need? What kind of help do you need?
Exactly. What kind of resources do you need? What out of the response that you're dealing with and managing right now is beyond your capability? Do you need anything from dump trucks to pumps to even, you know, as we'll talk later, the resources of soldiers and airmen of the Minnesota National Guard to help you? But that's exactly how it works.
And we'll talk about the Minnesota National Guard in the next segment. But, Director, if there was a flood, I think, in Duluth a couple of years ago, and they needed some dump trucks, you had something in place so that you could call in the equipment that's closest and most efficient and then worry about how to reimburse that agency for the use of their equipment later.
Yeah, we respond first, ask questions later, and it's not that we're not paying attention to resources, but we have some authorities under emergency declarations that we can provide that assistance. Our most important thing is to provide timely support.
And then sort out the details and take care of the financing part of it later.
Yep, we pay attention to it as we go along. We always tell people, keep track of your time, keep track of receipts, know where everything that you sent out is, but we're not going to get tangled up in the bureaucracy when there's a community in Minnesota that needs our help.
Get help there first.
Get help there first.
Sir, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by an officer from the Minnesota National Guard talking about how they cooperate with Homeland Security and Emergency Management. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been joined today by my co-host for the show is Director Joe Kelly from Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management. We've been talking about how that agency works with people all over Minnesota to help react to disasters and to help prevent them. In this segment, we're going to be joined by Lieutenant Colonel Mike Piontek, who is a planning officer for the Minnesota National Guard. Colonel Piontek, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Director Kelly, one of the big resources in Minnesota is the Minnesota Army and Air National Guard, and your office works closely with the Minnesota National Guard on all the natural disasters and a lot of different things, including all that training up at Camp Ripley.
Yeah, we talked in earlier about when something bad happens, we gather up our key partners in the State Emergency Operations Center to figure out how to help locals deal with the thing that they got on their hands. There's no doubt that the Minnesota National Guard is one of our biggest and most capable partners. They got a lot of stuff. They got a lot of people. They got a lot of facilities. They got a lot of equipment. They got a lot of experience. So we know we can always count on the Minnesota National Guard when something bad is happening in Minnesota.
Colonel, thanks for joining us on the show. How long have you been in the Air National Guard?
It'll be 30 years in June.
And now you're a planning officer. Can you tell us what all that involves?
The big part of plans is to stay connected with our partners. Partnerships and relationships, it's a word that we've used quite a bit on the show already this morning. Partnerships and relationships is a priority for our current tag, General Jensen. And the intent there is to stay connected with our communities, with our HSEM partners, so that in the event there is an event, we've made those relationships and those partnerships so that it's a seamless event.
So Colonel Joe Kelly has told us that he had 11 events he had to react to in the last year. Can you give us an example of how the Minnesota National Guard played a part in those?
I can. Actually, I was looking back at the last few years. It seems like going back to 2005, the Minnesota National Guard, both the Army and the Air, have had involvement in events, whether it's providing shelter for winter events, providing personnel to support flood fights, either up in the Red River Valley or in the southern part of the state. We've sent soldiers and airmen to Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands, most recently to support the hurricane effort there. It seems like every year we're out there, out in the communities, helping out.
So it's not just here in Minnesota. I know on a couple of occasions in the last year we've deployed troops to help with natural disasters in other parts of the United States.
Yep, that's a true statement. As National Guard, soldiers and airmen, obviously our first commitment is to our communities, local and state, but we also do respond when called upon to go outstate. 2005 is something that comes to mind, the hurricanes Katrina and Rita that went through the southern part of the country, Louisiana and Texas. We had personnel down there supporting them, firefighters, air crews, soldiers, you name it, and we had them there.
Director Kelly, for most of our listeners, I'm sure they can recall watching the news reports of the flooding in the Red River Valley, and whenever that's on the news in the spring, we see our soldiers up there and probably some North Dakota soldiers and everybody just trying to help out with that flooding.
Disasters don't understand where the borders are, so we work a lot with North Dakota. In fact, I was on the phone this morning with my counterpart from North Dakota, making sure that we were seeing the upcoming flood forecast the same way they do. But it never floods just on one side of the river. And the National Guard units up in the northwest part of the state in the Red River Valley have a lot of experience, whether it's helping with evacuations, keeping an eye on the flood protections that are built, and so forth. They've got a lot of experience. And to Mike's point, there's a lot of great relationships that have been built over the years. So when they're dealing with an emergency, they know the people who are coming to help them.
We're talking about emergency preparedness here in Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio today. And Colonel Piontek, I know that we've got armories all over the state, and you've got the Air Force has the facilities in Twin Cities and up in Duluth. When something comes up like flooding up in the Red River Valley, I'm sure you're trying to look for the resources that are closest and can get there fastest. Is that part of the planning process?
It is. We try to respond as fast as we can when we get that call. We're going to be keeping an eye on events in the same way that our partners at the state are. And we're ready to respond when we do get that phone call that says, hey, the local authorities are not able to keep up with what they have. They're going to need some assistance from the Guard, whether it's equipment or personnel, usually both. And we try to stay ready to make that response as fast as we can.
So you're always planning for natural disasters and tornadoes and floods. And, of course, in the summertime and the fall, there'll be some fires to deal with, and you've got some capabilities in that regard, too.
We do. We've got helicopters that have provided wildfire relief up in the northern part of the state. We've got, again, I think our biggest resource is the number of personnel that we have. And we've got folks that are out in the community not only helping out there, but we've got folks that are in law enforcement. We've got folks that are in emergency services. So they've got an idea of how to respond to these things, and that's a great resource for us.
Director?
Yeah, we had a very quiet wildfire season last year, and we were kind of nervous going into it because this time last year there was like no snow on the ground, and we thought, oh my gosh, we're going to have this long period between losing the snow cover and greening up. About, you know, we were looking at 60 to 75 days last year. This year I think we're going to be in pretty good shape because there's still a lot of snow cover on the ground, so that fire season, it looks like it's setting up to, at least to get off to a pretty gentle start, but there certainly were challenges in other parts of the country, specifically out west, and that's where some of that interstate cooperation that we talked about earlier comes in handy. Nobody has the resources to deal with the really big events, not even, you know, anywhere in the country. So there's a lot of, I'll just generally call it, mutual aid, not only between local communities, but between states. And as Colonel Piontek said, they had guys in the Virgin Islands and Puerto Rico and Texas. I think you had people in Florida too this past hurricane season. So when bad things happen, we all got to work together.
And Colonel, I understand you sent some helicopters out west to help fight those fires. Was that on Montana last year or the year before?
Yes, it was.
So there is a lot of cooperation.
There is. Yeah, we're not only looking at here within the borders of Minnesota, but we're ready to respond to our partners outside the state as well.
And, of course, this is just another example of how the Minnesota National Guard has a dual mission, one, the federal mission, if you're called to federal duty and fight in various wars, whatever you have to do, and then, of course, the state mission, be called up for natural disasters or whatever we need here at home. And the interesting part of it that we've learned a little bit about today is that interstate cooperation with North, South Dakota, Montana, wherever they need it. And Director Kelly, I think we talked last time you were on about when we had that bridge collapse, there were resources that came in from all over the country.
There were. In fact, one of the key resources that came and helped with the recovery from that particular event were some United States Navy salvage divers, because the water patrols that our sheriffs have across the state are very capable of rescuing people and recovering remains, but not when you're tangled up with the superstructure left from an interstate bridge that fell into the river. So
you got to be prepared for just about anything. And Colonel, I understand up at Camp Ripley, you've got a new training area where it's put together to prepare for disaster if we have like a train derailment with all the trains coming through Minnesota with energy and so forth. And that's quite a facility up there, Camp Ripley.
Yep, Camp Ripley is a great asset for us. Again, going back to the partnerships, we're able to train with our partners in the HSEM, State Patrol, Sheriff's Departments, you name it. They come into Camp Ripley to use those assets and the Emergency Management Training Center. Again, it's a great way for us to work with our partners so that our response is seamless.
Director, a lot of people think of Camp Ripley as just a military facility, but it's a state-owned facility, and there's a lot of really good stuff going on up there.
It gets used a lot by agencies and folks outside of military, whether it's the Department of Transportation, Natural Resources, the State Patrol, emergency managers, you name it. There's a lot of people taking advantage of that great facility.
Even our snowplow drivers were up there last fall plowing up some sand and getting ready for the snowplowing season, and that's why they can clear the highways quickly.
That's where they learn their craft, and they get warmed up for the winter.
That's too bad the other states don't have such a facility, gentlemen.
We really are lucky. A lot of National Guardsmen in Minnesota think that every state's got a Camp Ripley, but we're blessed because we have one of the largest training centers in the country.
It's a great one. Gentlemen, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources and something called flood insurance. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking about emergency preparedness here in Minnesota this week, and my co-host is Director Joe Kelly, who's in charge of Minnesota's Homeland Security and Emergency Management, which is part of the Minnesota Department of Public Safety. And Director Kelly, as we said in an earlier segment, hopefully we've got an easy flood year. Not too much snow so far, but it's still tournament season. We could still get a bunch.
We could still get a bunch. And quite frankly, we are as concerned about what I'll call high volume rain events and those leading to flooding as we are anything from the winter and the spring snowmelt. So flooding is always just one big storm system away for us.
And you brought a new guest with you to the studio today. You want to introduce her?
I did, and I would love to. I brought Steele Strauss, and Steele is our state of Minnesota floodplain manager at the Department of Natural Resources. And I thought it was important for Steele to come in and talk about flood insurance, because one of the things we see every time we have a significant flooding event is homeowners, property owners suffer because they don't have adequate coverage for insurance, and they think the government's gonna take care of all their problems. So there's a lot of misunderstandings, myths, and mistakes people make with flood insurance. And Seal's one of the experts in the country about this topic.
Seal, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for coming to the studio today.
Well, thanks, Tom. Thanks for the opportunity to be here.
Now you are the Minnesota State Floodplain Manager, part of the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. That sounds like kind of an all-encompassing job title as well.
It is. And actually, the main part of my job is working with local communities to enforce regulations and keep people out of the high-risk zones and help them to build higher and safer and prevent flooding damage.
Seal, it would seem every year we see that flooding up in the Red River Valley, that it's the same people get hit year after year after year, but some of them must have moved.
There's been quite a few good programs where we've actually worked with state funds and partnered with federal funds and done some big mitigation projects, acquiring some of the most at-risk properties and working with communities and our partners to do flood reduction projects. There's been some pretty big projects. East Grand Forks has got a big levee and flood control project. Roseau just finished a big diversion project. So between trying to keep people out of the floodplain in the first place and some of these big projects to reduce risk, we've really done a pretty good job in the state.
Seal, I live in an area where there's no river and there's no really thought of flooding. Would you think that my regular homeowner's insurance would cover flooding?
And that's a great question, because a lot of people don't realize that their homeowner's insurance doesn't cover flooding. And you do have to get a separate flood insurance policy. And the flooding that you see is not just next to rivers. You do have those 10, 12, 14-inch rains. We've seen them in the state, all around the state, where people get that intense rain and people get flooded in areas that are not near a flooding source, a normal flooding source. And
Is that a place where the typical homeowner should just call their insurance agents and say, do I have flood insurance?
That'd be a good thing to do, because the normal insurance agent that you work with for your home insurance or your car insurance, they can also offer the flood insurance, and they can tell you if you've got it. And in many cases, if you are in a high-risk zone, the lender, your bank, has required you to get flood insurance. But one of the issues that people aren't aware of is that the bank's looking at the structure, and they don't always tell you that you need to separately buy contents coverage for your flood insurance. In some of the southern Minnesota floods, we had a lot of people who said, oh, wait a minute, I had flood insurance, but they didn't cover my stuff, so you have to buy that separately.
So one of the things we're dealing here is gaps in coverage. You want to make sure that you've got good coverage, that in the event there is some kind of an emergency or flood, that your contents, your house, the repairs are all covered.
Right, and many people don't have flood insurance. And there's a couple other myths out there that we really heard after some of those southern Minnesota floods. Some people said, oh, my agent told me I can't get flood insurance because I'm not in the floodplain. Totally not true. That as long as you're living in a community that participates in the National Flood Insurance Program, you can buy flood insurance anywhere in the community. And if you're not in the high-risk areas that are mapped as the high-risk areas, it's much cheaper. You can get what's called a preferred risk policy, which is a discounted policy.
So if you live in an area where you're not expecting any kind of floods, if you ask about it, it's not necessarily that expensive.
Right, right. You can choose to get the minimum amount of coverage for under $200 a year. Even the maximum coverage, 250,000 building, 100,000 contents coverage. If you're in that low risk area, that's about 600 a year.
We're talking about emergency preparedness on Minnesota Military Radio today. And my co-host is Director Joe Kelly. And we've been talking to Ms. Seal Strauss from the Minnesota State Floodplain Manager from the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources. Director, it sounds like there's much more to this planning business than just reacting to disasters. It's helping people figure out what's important and how to make sure that you've got things like insurance there and the right insurance in case something happens that you maybe wouldn't even think of.
A very big part of our business. Certainly, we're involved in supporting the response to incidents, but probably a bigger part of my business is helping communities and individuals and households recover from the effects of an event, and as we're talking about here, a flood. And that takes a lot of money and it takes a lot of time. I couldn't agree more with, you know, Seal saying that everybody, if you can, you should have flood insurance, because for, like she said, even if you're outside a floodplain, for $20 a month, you're going to protect your home. People think that FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, is going to help them if their home or their business is damaged. And while you could get some help, it's not going to be what you think it is. There was just a big historic flood in Louisiana a couple years ago, second only to Katrina and Rita. The average federal assistance from that flood was $9,000. The average flood insurance settlement was $90,000. So the federal government is not going to make you whole if you have damage to your home or your contents as a result of the flood.
And related to that would be that you only get some assistance from the federal government if there's been a presidentially declared disaster. And whereas flood insurance, you can collect, you can be made whole again, even if it's a flood that's not big enough to trigger a presidential disaster.
So, Seal, how can we find out if our community participates in the National Flood Insurance Program?
Well, I want to mention that over 95% of the people in Minnesota live in a community that participates. You can look on the Minnesota DNR floodplain page, or you could go to FEMA's community. You could search for FEMA Community Status Book or FEMA CSB, and that has a listing of all the communities that participate in the program.
So for our listeners out there, if they have some concerns about flood, and they should all look around and see if there's an opportunity for that to happen. There's such a thing as a 100-year floodplain and all those things, but they should really just start with their insurance agent, shouldn't they?
That'd be a good place to start.
And if he can't get the answers, maybe call local city officials and say, I'm trying to make sure that if this comes to pass that I'm covered, what can I do?
Yeah, and the local officials can say, help them find the maps and find out what their risk is in their community, and they can get the assistance of the DNR if the local official needs that assistance.
Very good. Director Kelly, a couple other things we want to touch on when we come back. We had a big event here called Super Bowl 52, before we go to that, we'll cover that in the next segment. We've got about a minute left. There's been a lot of stuff in the news lately about the Parkland, Florida school shooting. Is there anything that your agency recommends to help the schools protect our children?
Well, we actively help schools. We have a small section in my division known as the Minnesota School Safety Center, and they partner, they provide resources to local school districts, whether it's how to conduct a threat assessment if someone is acting unusual, assessments of their facilities to make sure that they are safe and they can control access, take a look at their emergency plans and make sure that they are prepared to respond if they have an event at the school. So there's a lot of energy. There's a lot of attention right now on school safety, and we're very pleased that we have something to offer our local school districts.
And, of course, it's in the news lately because the governor and the state legislature is working on some programs to try to ensure that all the children going to school in Minnesota are safe.
I think we want to make sure our kids are safe, and I'm encouraged by the amount of energy and interest that's at the Capitol right now to make sure that schools have the resources to provide that environment.
Director Seal, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Super Bowl 52 and an incident in Hawaii. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to talk about a couple other items related to emergency preparedness. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shalito.
Monday, March 12th, is Veterans Day on the Hill, sponsored by the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, the United Veterans Legislative Council, and the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers. The rally will take place at the state capitol starting at 10 a.m. This is a day veterans will come together and deliver a unified message to energize the legislature on veteran-related issues and advocate for their 2018 legislative agenda. The event is open to the public, and veterans are encouraged to attend and meet with their legislators at the conclusion of the rally. With a united front, this day will reflect a powerful image of veterans in action as we tell our story and ask for support on initiatives that impact Minnesota veterans and their families.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. We've been talking today about emergency preparedness with Director Joe Kelly from the Homeland Security Emergency Management and Lieutenant Colonel Mike Piontek from the Minnesota National Guard and Seal Strauss from the DNR. And General Kelly, we had an event here last year that doesn't happen very often in Minnesota. I think it was the second time, Super Bowl 52. And by watching the news, it looked like everybody in the state was involved in protecting everybody there. And we had on the 55th Civil Support Team before the Super Bowl, and they were talking about all the sweeps they were doing and all of their activities from the Minnesota National Guard. And I would guess you were in your command center during Super Bowl 52.
We were in our command center. We were sort of the, in case anything goes wrong, you know, we were there with about 25 other folks, some key state agency partners, as well as some folks from the Federal Emergency Management Agency. But really, on the front lines of this was the city of Minneapolis, Minneapolis Police Department, Minneapolis Emergency Management, and some others, and had great partners with the National Guard. And I just want to say that Minneapolis did a great job of showcasing what our state's like, especially in winter, and providing a safe, secure, and enjoyable environment for the people that came here.
And Colonel, I understand you had a lot of troops involved in helping the Minneapolis Police Department.
Yes, we did. We had several hundred soldiers and airmen that were out helping the Minneapolis Police Department. The most visible were our soldiers that were out providing security at the different venues that were around town for the Super Bowl. We had quite a few folks that were behind the scenes that you didn't see. You mentioned the CST team. They were out at a couple of different spots. We had logistics support out at the 133rd Airlift Wing providing facilities for government agencies. We had the 148th Fighter Wing was providing air cover over the Super Bowl while that was going on. Quite a bit of activity on the Minnesota National Guard, and we were very proud to do it.
Director Kelly, sounds like you had to anticipate and be ready for almost anything.
That's one of our mottos, be ready for anything, and fortunately nothing happened because of some of the great efforts like we got from the Minnesota National Guard and the Minneapolis Police Department.
Director Kelly, we just got a few minutes left, but there was something in the news recently that affected Hawaii, and of course we've been talking a little bit about South Korea in the news as well, and they issued a missile alert and didn't cancel it for a long period of time. And one of the questions that came out of it was, I heard over and over again that the people that heard this alert said, what do we do?
That is one of the most unfortunate events outside of an actual emergency that I've seen in my time. Hawaii made a mistake and accidentally triggered an incoming missile alert. They didn't cancel it for 38 minutes, and there were a lot of people in Hawaii who were fearing for their lives and what would come next. It's been a long time since the Cold War ended, so a lot of people aren't familiar with what do you do if that, God forbid, that situation happens. The most important thing people should know is get inside. Get inside and go as low as you can because you want to be protected from the potential of radioactive material fallout. And then tune in as best you can for sources of information. But get inside and go low is the best thing we can tell people.
And get on the radio and listen for some news and some updates and and hope that it's a false alarm, but that's probably not going to happen in Minnesota, is it?
I am 100% confident that kind of an incident would never happen. We do not have any state protocols for issuing an incoming missile alert. That is the responsibility of the federal government that would come out of Washington on the orders of the president. So Hawaii, for whatever reason, had a pre-scripted message. We don't have that. We wouldn't have the opportunity to make that mistake. So that will not happen in Minnesota.
SEAL Colonel Piontek, thanks for joining us today to talk about emergency preparedness. And Director Kelly, you've got about 30 seconds left, and I'd like you to end with what we've talked about in the past. If you see something, say something. Who do you call?
One of the things that all of us can do, every citizen in Minnesota can do to keep everybody safe, is if they see something that's out of place, if they see someone acting suspiciously, whether they're in a school, at the mall, at their place of work, please say something. Contact security, contact local law enforcement, because the eyes and ears of our state are in on the citizens. Then that's the most important thing you can do individually to keep you and your neighbors and your family safe. When you see something doesn't look right, call local authorities. Tell somebody what you see.
You might stop a disaster or a terrible event, and just call the sheriff or call the police department. And even if you're wrong, you might have helped.
No points off for being embarrassed on something that really wasn't. But there are lots of really good stories about tragedies that were averted because ordinary everyday people just said, I see something doesn't look right.
Thanks for joining us again this year, sir.
Thanks, Tom. It's my pleasure.
That was Director Joe Kelly, along with Lieutenant Colonel Mike Piontek and SEAL Strauss for our annual emergency preparedness program. Joining me now is Robbie Robinson, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and also the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer stationed. Robbie, are you at the courthouse in Red Wing? Is that where you're at?
Yep, sure am, Tom. They're just about every day. Matter of fact, today I'm out doing outreach in the county. I'm sitting in Zumbrota right now waiting to meet with vets here out in the county.
How are all our veterans in Goodhue County?
Veterans here are doing well, and we're doing our best to take care of them.
And if they've got any issues, all they have to do is come see you at the courthouse, and you know where all the resources are to help them with just about anything veteran-related.
That's right.
Robbie, we've got an event coming up on March 12th, Veterans Day on the Hill. Can you tell us about it?
Yeah, Veterans Day on the Hill will be Monday, March the 12th. It's a time for veterans to set aside a time and veteran supporters to come to the state capitol or to rally in support of veterans legislation and make our voices heard. The rally is going to start at 10 a.m. in the Capitol Rotunda, and it's being coordinated by the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, the Minnesota Commanders Task Force, and the United Veterans Legislative Council.
So what are some of the different veteran-related issues that you're working on this year?
Well, some of the issues that we're looking at this year are the keeping surviving spouses in their homes, ending illegal predatory lending against veterans' benefits, increasing access to the outdoors for our disabled veterans. And those are just a few of the issues relating to veterans that we'll be discussing.
So if I'm a veteran and I want to attend, how can I get there?
Well, the DAV has been setting up rides for veterans. They are being set up in the metro area, park and ride locations. There are four of them in the metro, at the Osseo American Legion at 264th Avenue Southeast in Osseo, the Bloomington VFW at 311 West 8th Street in Bloomington, the Anoka American Legion, 400 West Main Street in Anoka, and the Roseville VFW, 1145 Woodhill Drive. If you need a ride, contact those places, and they'll be able to make sure that you have a seat reserved to get to the Capitol. There are also rides that are being set up in the outstate area. So if you'll contact your local service organization, you'll be able to find out what type of transportation is available. And, Tom, this information is also available at the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website. So anybody that may not catch it here, they can go there and get all the contact information there.
So once again, it's Veterans Day on the Hill, March 12th. And you're going to have a rally in the rotunda from 10 to 11 a.m. and then regional rooms for lawmakers from 12 to 2, where you can meet with the lawmaker from your area. And what we want to do is get as many veterans up to the Capitol as possible so they can talk to their elected officials about some of these issues that the Commander's Task Force and the County Veteran Service Officers are working on this year.
Yep, we want to get everybody out there to make our voices heard so that they know the veterans are still here, and we're trying to protect and get the benefits that we've all earned.
And for more information, they can go to the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs website. And one of your partners in this is a veteran service organization called the DAV of Minnesota. And they've got some information there, davmn.org. And Robbie, just a few seconds left. How many veterans you want to get there this year?
As many as want to get there. We've got over 300,000, so we'll take all 300,000 if they want to show up.
So the winter's almost over. Come on down to the Capitol for Veterans Day on the Hill.
Yep, especially you guys in the metro area. Get out and come down to the rally.
Robbie, thanks for joining us again today.
Well, thank you for having me, Tom, and I look forward to talking to you in the future.
This is Robbie Robinson, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Goodhue County Veteran Service Officer on Minnesota Military Radio. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week. Director Joe Kelly from Homeland Security Emergency Management, Lieutenant Colonel Mike Piontek from the Minnesota National Guard, Seal Strauss from the DNR, Robbie Robinson, Commissioner Larry Shelito of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General John Jensen. Please join us next week as we talk about Minnesota's veterans of foreign wars and hear how you can tee it up for the troops. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.